passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times, where we're changing the world, wait for it, one ohm at a time. So, as always, I want to remind everybody that we are now a live call-in show. So if you want to be part of today's conversation, if you'd like to ask me or my incoming guest any questions or share comments with us, you can do this at 202-570-7057. If you are not somebody who's a little shy of calling in, you can go to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N. Make sure you like the page. I'm a likable guy, even if I have to say so myself. And you will see at the top of that page today's guest, how to contact them, blah, 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 all the information you ever wanted to know, and maybe some you didn't. And you can comment on the bottom of that, any comment or questions you have, and we'll read them on air, provided that they're appropriate. We occasionally get something not a little less than appropriate, but I'm not worried about that today. So now, for those of you who are just joining us and may not know how this goes, here in this first segment, we're going to start with my hot topic. My hot topic is something that makes me a little hot under the collar or feel warm and fuzzy. And then we introduce you to our guest. We let our guest comment on the hot topic. We put him on the hot seat because he has no idea what the topic's going to be until he hears it the same time you do. He gets to then pull it out, talk about it, and then we will let our today's guest take us outside the box and share some pearls of wisdom with us here on the Dr. Kevin Show. So, my hot topic today is about, it's a combination. There's a little part of it that makes me feel warm and fuzzy, which is that some people some governors are coming along. And the first governor, interestingly, the governor of Montana, has decided that he's signing an executive order stating that any internet providers signed by the state must refrain from impairing, throttling, degrading, or blocking internet traffic based on content, payment, or prioritization. In other words, they are doing their part to enforce net neutrality. And so I am hoping that we're going to see a lot of other states that take the same thing and realize that the net should not be the play toy of the rich and the powerful so they can become more rich and more powerful. It should belong actually to the people. Today, the only thing that really belongs is the bill they're expected to pay. As we all know, a lot of our officials should be wearing jackets with the patches of who owns them, which lobbyist group, which corporation, you know, are they owned by the pharmaceuticals, you know, whoever. They should just wear patches so we can keep track of how they vote to make sure that those lobbying dollars keep filling their wallet. That being said, I've been saying for a long time now that we really don't need to have a government that tries to be our parents, but it would not be quite so bad that they're trying to be our parents if they weren't such bad parents. It's bad enough that they're trying to be our parents without being really bad parents. They're abusive parents. They abandon us. They betray us. And they lie to us. And yet they put themselves up. I keep on waiting those pillars to become pillars of salt so I can blow them away. Now, let's introduce tonight's guest. I heard him chuckling in the background. I'm sure he'll have 2 cents to put in. Tonight's guest is Michael Oden. Michael offers a unique and uncompromising You don't compromise, Michael? Well, we'll have to talk about that. Method that will make sense of any situation in order for you or the organization to change. Good. Change the organization we call the U.S. government. I have challenged you. Make it so. We do more than find solutions. We peel back the layers of experiences. Now, is that kind of like when you get a sunburn and your skin peels? We'll have to ask him. That have led up to the current situation where you or the organization is having the issue and beginning dissecting those experiences in order to, for them to not reappear. Well, that's just usually a good salt scrub. Usually that dead skin will go away. And he has a shift, a program called the Communication Shift. And you can reach Michael at communicationshift.com. And again, that is all on facebook.com/mydrkevin. Michael, welcome.
Good afternoon.
Do you have any idea what you're getting yourself in for when you came on the Dr. Kevin show?
I had an idea, but my adrenaline's starting to pump right now.
Good. Pump it up. So let's start with our hard topic. What do you think? Net neutrality. Can we get our government out of our being our parents? Thoughts? And you're welcome to disagree with me. I love it. Go.
You know, the government sounds like the parents that deal with my clients. They neglect us. They abuse us. They abandon us. And then the client or the ends up being, you know, shall we say, creating, what do you call it, defense mechanisms to survive. So if we can be responsible citizens, then the government job is easy. But we as citizens, sometimes we're responsible. But to take freedom of speech away from us and freedom of choice, now we're fighting with the, now we're going against what, shall we say, we've been fighting for, you know, in America, we'll call it.
Okay. Well, you know, yes, we need citizens to be responsible, but we also need to not have the deck stacked against us, because even responsible citizens struggle with feeling that they have a voice sometimes when your vote is not worth as much as, you know, $1 million donated to your campaign fund. Hey, I've been pushing for years. All lobbying should just be plain illegal. It's just bribery. It's just legalized bribery. That's all it is.
So yes, I tell you, you know something. You make a lot of sense, because money. I know money is the bottom line for almost everything. If money's not included, if we cannot, shall we say, funnel the money, and it comes from a certain individual, that individual has the power and say in that vote, like you just mentioned. So I agree with you on that part.
So now we can have the same kind of dysfunctional play out happen mm-hmm. in corporations and companies, can we not?
Oh, yes, we do. Yeah.
Okay. So if I was to give you a title, I didn't see a quote unquote title here. Mm-hmm. What would your title be?
My title would be a person who has the answer to a solution. I'd say, a truth seeker. A truth seeker. Yeah.
A truth seeker. Okay. Not a problem solver. Okay. So as a truth seeker, and one that has been working in getting organizations to change, and you can do this, you know, when I ask this question to all of my guests, you can talk about anything you want. You don't have to talk about your specialty. You don't have to all conversations are on the table, Michael. So where would you like to take my listeners outside the box? Where would you like to stretch their comfort zone?
Let's do the topic of the drug addiction in America. Drug dependence.
Go for it.
That's a huge epidemic, you know, and I've been working in that topic for the last 20 years, and we've been using certain methods for the last 60-something years, and I've decided, you know something, it's time for somebody to say something different about that. And what I noticed over the years, and now the tens of thousands of people I've interviewed who had this problem, the main issue was childhood trauma that causes the drug epidemic, and no one's looking at that. Everybody's going like this. He's an addict. He's sick in the head. They're immoral. And all I'm saying is this, if you're not immoral, what it is, you are wounded. You've been carrying these wounds for many years, and you're compensating for your pain while you exist. And the drugs help you escape the reality and the pain that you've encountered as a child. And so when I wrote a book on this, I noticed that the fact that that's why I wrote the book is because the truth is that it is because of childhood trauma that causes drug dependency. You just pick up and go, I want to use a drug today. Something has to propel you in that area to do so. So if there's one thing I want to get out there, finally, is the fact that this is where it all stems from.
Okay. And I could not agree more. And I do work in this population. We've never met. I don't know how much you know about me, but you know, my primary practice for the last 28 years has been as a spiritual coach, counselor, and catalyst. So I'm out here. I'm with you. I think that this is a great conversation. Before we get into it more, you said you wrote a book. What is the name of that book?
The book is called When Nobody's Home.
Nobody is home. Okay.
When nobody's home. Go ahead.
Okay.
And the subtopic is to reveal and heal the missing pieces of childhood trauma and those painful experiences.
Okay. So I'm just going to leave it because I'm putting it on the Facebook page under the comment section. So if people go look here, they're going to find that. If you, when we have break, want to go onto the Facebook.com My Dr. Kevin page and have a link to put down there where people can like go check out wherever the book can be found, please feel free to do so. So you look at drugs as not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. But basically the side effect.
Right. It is. Watch this. It's going to be interesting. It's their solution to the problem, tragically.
Yeah, well, see, and I thought about saying the word solution, Michael, but mm-hmm. I don't think it's a solution to the problem. I think it's and that's why I hesitated for a second, you know, because it's a symptom. Is it a cause or a symptom? Drugs are a symptom, and
right.
they're a side effect of unresolved issues and wounds. And some of those wounds are from your parents or from your people who brought you up, but some of those wounds are from society. They're from our media.
Yeah.
They're from what we're exposing our. I mean, we start abusing our kids the minute they pop out of the womb.
You're right, I have thousands to support you in that. Yes, but Dr. Kevin, check this out. It is a solution, but it's only a temporary solution because it gives you emotional safety and peace for the moment until it wears off. I get to escape reality for a while it's working. Then it wears off, and guess what? Now I have to do it again and again and again.
Yes, yes. It's definitely an escape, and it's an unhealthy escape, and it's escape that
right.
does damage not only to the individual but to all of those people who are entwined in and around that individual. So it's like that escape is like a cancer that grows out into that person, individual person's life and community, creating negative impacts and blight.
Yes, it does. It does. It spreads. There's destruction over here, destruction over there. You're spending money. You're losing time. You know, it just brings down the whole family structure. And also, if you have a small business, your business.
So, Michael, I completely agree with you so far. You know, we might have some different language in here and there. That's the beauty of language.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I think that at the core, we're sitting on the same page. What I want to know is, though, healing those wounds is a nice phrase. The
mm-hmm.
question is, what do you think is the most effective process for it? Do you have a favorite process, or do you think it depends on the individual?
Well, I created my own process. It's called the needs-based method. Okay? So what it is I get the client to understand why they even picked up in the first place. So Something had to happen for you to pick up and use for a period of time. So then what I get them to understand is that when you pick up, you lose and you numb the emotions that have been driving the behavior for many years, well, it came from somewhere. And here's the bottom line. This is over the thousands and thousands of interviews that I've had over clients who had this problem. It has to do with your caretaker. It starts from home, hence the title, When Nobody's Home. What was said to you, what was done to you, who said it, how they said it, all this pain coming at you in varying degrees, what you do with that information. So when they take, so what I do is I get them to empathize of why would a parent tell their child they are worthless? Why would a parent tell their child they're no good? Why would a parent tell their child that they are not worth anything? So a child carries that belief system for many years. The drug helps them numb the emotional pain from that belief system, right? So when we get the parent, so when we get some awareness and understanding around why it started in the first place, these individuals have a shot. But the problem is, here it is. The problem is it's scary to admit that certain people let them down. It's very hurtful to the fact that my caretaker was not able to meet my needs as a child growing up. And I do not want to admit that. And if I do admit that, then I have to say, wow, it's a big letdown. And that's probably the biggest issue I've dealt with in over the 20 years. And because here's the saying that I hear over the years, I've had a perfect life. And then I heard that so many times. Well, I had a great childhood. My parents gave me everything. Well, tell me what everything is. Then why are you here? Why did you hire me to help you with this problem? And then when we break it down, we understand that, wow, there's one thing my parents missed. And that's the fact that they never connected with me.
And you know, it is a child's nature to feel as though. Oh, and there's our first break, and we'll be right back with Michael Oden.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more. All to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times. Today, today's guest is Michael Oden. Remember that this is a live call-in show, so you can call in at 202-570-7057. Ask Michael or myself any questions or comments that you'd like to share. Michael has created a program called The Communication Shift, that to help create a better you. We're talking about how to get to the core of problems, especially the ones that end up trying to find a crazy solution through something like drug addiction. Michael, welcome back.
Hey, it's nice to be back.
Yeah, that, you know, the breaks happen when they happen. They happen at 20 after and at 40 after. And when that music starts, that's just done. We're just done until we get cued back in. Just so you know, I don't have any control over it. So I didn't decide I didn't like what you were saying and start up the music. So we're going to move on to the next segment of the Dr. Kevin Show.
Okay.
This is now. Did you get a chance to listen to any of my shows before you got on?
Yes,
okay,
I did. Yeah.
Okay. So you know what the question is, right? You know what the quiz is.
I have an idea. It's been about a month since I listened.
Yeah, I know. We had a little scheduling issue. Okay. So, for this next segment, the quiz is: from what movie came "Ignore the Man Behind the Curtain"?
Oh, The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, ding, 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 ding. You get a Glinda bubble to float in. I choose that to start the segment because the moment when Toto pulls back the curtain and it's ignore the man behind the curtain, because the segment's called Behind the Curtain. And it's where do you want to pull the curtain back where you think we're getting manipulated, lied to, information is getting misrepresented to us, and if we knew the truth, we would be better off for it, or we would act differently or be differently in the world. What truth do you want to truth do you want to expose or share or illuminate us on, Michael?
Dr. Kevin, just to let you know, I use the Wizard of Oz archetype in my speeches and talks because I love that, pulling the curtain down. I really do. It really tells a lot. So what I want to pull the curtain down is the fact that Our drug epidemic in America can be resolved tremendously if we understood why it starts in the first place and not blame it on the drug, but why the person started to use in the first place. I am a firm believer in that. I've interviewed the thousands of people I've talked to is about the trauma. Reveal the trauma so they can heal.
Okay. So,
yeah.
How is this conversation different than the one we had last segment?
Yeah, I'm just passionate about that.
I get that you're passionate about that, and we agree on it, and we definitely want to see people getting to the root of an issue. We want to see people get healed. But I'm sure, I mean, with the work you do, the books you've written, the programs you've created, what other thing do you think we get lied to about?
I got you. Here's one. The fact that there's still no racism in America.
Oh, my God. Well, that's a huge lie.
that's like, we think everything's hunky-dory. We think, we like you because, you're different and it's not true. Not only racism, of course, sexism, classism, but, the big thing is racism. Because you are different than me, I will treat you differently. You're not allowed in certain places still, and I've seen that. And how you treat me because I walk into a restaurant. And I see that, and so that I think that's the big lie. I know it's the big lie.
So what are you? So let's pull that curtain back a little bit. You're an insightful guy there, Mr. Michael. So where did racism come from? What do you think? What was the real reason why them old white folks needed them old black folks to be second class citizens, or whatever it may be?
Well, racism. If you go back to England in the 17th century, 18th century, right? You're looking at a group of people who believe that they have manifest destiny, and with their way of going through the world is because of a Bible or something with God and all that. So they go through the world taking stuff and knowing because of how they look and who they are that they can take what they want, when they want, and who they want it from. So this transcends to when they came to America, or when they ran into America, taking the Indians' land, the Native Americans, you know, using the Irish as their first slaves in the 17th century, 18th century, right? So then you have that. Then the Great White Wave transcends all the way to the Pacific coast on this end. So because of how I look, my belief is I am better than you in every which way possible. And you individuals who look different than me, right, will take the crumbs, or I will treat you as such. Hence slavery, hence reservations, you know, and on and on and on.
Well, I think it's interesting because any schism, you know, I think that it comes. I tend to think it comes from an insecurity. I think it's somebody that needs to feel they're superior because they actually see themselves inferior. Perfect. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, if you want to talk about the subconscious level, the subconscious thinking of certain racial groups, that's huge. Why would you want to dominate another group and put them down and induce life diminishing behavior towards them when you can just embrace them and say, hey, come and join us, have what we have or do what we do, and let's share what we know and let's live together as one, kumbaya. But we don't do that.
Well, and I think that it's interesting because we do have we see like women's suppression,
right?
You know,
all over the world.
I mean, you know, so clearly men are afraid of women, or men in power are afraid of women. You see things like homophobia,
right,
which is a lot of times attributed to the individual being afraid of their own homosexual tendencies. Again, a
absolutely
fear of a fear within in and of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime we're putting hate out into the world, that somebody's doing that, then we have to look at the fact that it's us vomiting our self-hatred onto somebody else, so we have something to do with it.
Yes, hence the term projection. Yes, subconscious projection. You know, and it's beautiful as you said that, because if you weren't afraid, what would you do? If you weren't insecure, what would you do? What would you say? When you are whole, when you like yourself, right, other people will pay in a way that benefits, that everybody benefits. But when you don't like yourself and you're insecure about certain things, then I'm going to make sure you don't get what I have, you don't know what I know, so I can keep you where you are, status quo, or less than I will, what's the term they call it, marginalize you, so I can keep and reap the rewards of what I have. I will keep you below me, whatever it takes. And I will justify it by using some form of belief system.
Yeah, well, you know, I have a term that I use sometimes, which I call it instead of, we call people PC, I call them the BC, which is the bully Christians. They're the ones that, you know, when Christ jumped off the cross, that they broke the cross up into even-sized pieces of wood and used it as bats to beat people with.
There you go.
But, you know, there's a lot of judicious editing and a lot of inferior thinking in religious and moral superiority.
Oh my God. We should have supper and just talk about this, because we could go on all day. Thank you for that. I feel cleansed already, sir. Thank you.
So when somebody finds that they're dealing in a situation with somebody who is being racist or homophobic or misogynistic, give the titles, what words of wisdom do you give that client about how to deal with that situation?
Number one, we'll start off with this. Do not personalize it. It has nothing to do with you. 95% of people's reaction toward you is what they're dealing with, like you mentioned before. So you're paying for their pain, okay? So if you don't personalize it, that means you don't have to carry with you and make other people pay in your world. And gain some understanding around it. And here's what you can do. You can do this one thing. You can go like this. So I see you're in a lot of pain by making those racial comments. Is this your way of meeting your need for self-worth? Now you put the onus on them.
Okay.
Now they got to think about their behavior.
Do you think, and I'm not disagreeing with your approach, my question is, do you think that people that tend to engage in that stuff, engage into those kind of behaviors, do you think they're going to get those comments, or are they just going to get more defensive?
You're talking about the person receiving the comment from a racist individual?
Yeah. Well, I come up against somebody, you know, in my case, I have to deal with homophobia. So,
right.
I come up to somebody and they make little, I was on a radio show a couple of weeks ago being interviewed on somebody else's radio mm-hmm. show, and somebody called and started making little snide, you know, kind of, I'm not a real man comments.
Right, right.
And so it's kind of like, that person who is sitting there taking their pot shots in, you know, anonymously with a phone call into a live call-in show, do you think they're going to understand that, or could there be a gentler, more breadcrumbing way to help them move forward? Because if you have a wounded animal and you get mm-hmm. you approach them too strongly, they're going to lash
right.
out because they're
right.
wounded. These people are
right.
people that are racist, homophobic, all that are misogynistic. These are wounded people. They may not be the wounded drug addicts. Their drug of choice
right.
is hate instead of, you know,
exactly.
heroin.
Right.
But they're still addicts to a negative substance, and like hate.
Exactly. I like that. Yes. Yes. Because here's how we do it. I've dealt with this many times. What I do is give the client tools, or individual tools, of what to say. So when a guy makes those kind of comments, I said, by you making them, like I said before, what need is being met by you making that comment? Is your need, is it self-worth? Is it empowerment? So what happens is when you put the onus on them, then they have to think about their behavior, all right? And here's an example, and this is not racial, but this is a father belittling his son. You're an effing loser, I wish you were dead, all this sort of thing. And I said, ask this to your father. Ask your father this one question. Dad, when you call me an effing loser, are you meeting your need for self-worth? So he went back. I said, he came back a month later. He told me, I did that thing you told me to do, and he goes, and my dad almost croaked on the floor. The mother thought he had a heart attack because what happened was the son posed a question that the father had to actually think about as to why he was doing the behavior. That makes sense? Which means someone did that to him, which was probably his father, and he's just passing it down the line. So he got to actually see, wow, I am being like my father, and I'm treating my son the same way. Now you take this thing with the racial component, it's the same thing. Who taught you how to do that? Who said these people were this way? And because they weren't taught that, and because they're taught to, you know, push the button and diminish other people to get their need for self-worth, they don't see it until somebody points it out. How we usually respond is this. We will fire up more darts back at them, and then we're shooting bullets back and forth and nobody's getting anywhere. You have to make them think about why they're saying what they're saying and what they're getting out of it. That's the key.
Yeah.
Was there a commercial?
No, not yet. No, we got a couple
okay.
more minutes.
Okay.
I was just contemplating what you
right.
were saying.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's interesting because sometimes, and it depends, you know, I live heavily on my intuitive, so a lot of times I'm guided mm-hmm. to what's going to be most effective because different
right.
people hear different things.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that one of the things that I found can be powerful sometimes is saying to somebody, I'm sorry, I didn't realize you were in so much pain. I'm sorry. It's okay.
And doctor, how do they look at you?
They look at me like, oh, what do you mean? What do you mean? I'm not in pain. Blah, blah, blah. No. You would have no reason to be cruel to me because I've done nothing to you if you weren't in a lot of pain, and it's okay. It's okay that you're in pain, and I don't take it personally. You know, I just want to know, is there anything I can do to help you with your pain?
Yes.
Because, you know, and I've said to people before, you know, it must really suck to be you. I would not want to walk around with that much pain.
Yeah.
Again, just a different way to do it. We're just comparing notes here.
Right. And guess what, doctor? You can do this too. Where did you get your pain from?
Yeah. Where did you get that pain from?
Where did you incur your pain? Yeah. Where did you get that pain from, man? Because I'm paying for something and you don't even know me.
Yep.
So think about
Absolutely.
It.
Yeah. Absolutely. So you guide people to invite them to converse at a higher level. Is what I'm hearing, or a deeper level, one way or the other.
Deeper, right.
Now, one of the things I noticed is because a lot of the bio you sent me had to do with your organizational work. Mm-hmm. With the power differential in organizations, I know when I work with my clients that I have to teach how to manage laterally or manage up, that sometimes it's a different set of skill sets. What do you find is most effective if you're dealing with somebody, let's say you're dealing with somebody, you're a female and you're dealing with a misogynistic boss, but they're still your boss. Well, how would you, you know, we've got about a minute and then the music's going to start, but any insight you'd like to pass on to my females in the audience about how to deal with a misogynistic boss?
Absolutely. First of all, we can't control the boss yet. What we can do is control you and how you interpret the information.
Okay. I'll have you repeat that when we get back. Our music is on. We'll be right back with Michael Oden.
Commercial.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing and a summer evening. It's everybody over for Sunday dinner, and your family sleeping in their own beds at night. Making Home Affordable is a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Forward to it. 39 minutes into the show.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times, where we're changing the world. Wait for it. One Om at a time. I'm here with Michael Oden today, the creator of the Foundation Shift, Communication Shift, and author of the book When Nobody Is Home. And we've been having a great conversation, everything about the opiate addiction to racism, homophobia, you name it. If you'd like to be part of this conversation, please call in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. Or you can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N. And you will see today's show, and you can comment there, and I'll be monitoring that and be bringing your comments and questions back to our discussion. Michael, welcome back.
Nice to be here, sir.
So you were making a very powerful point when we went off air about what you would say to a woman out there who perhaps is having to deal with a misogynistic boss where there's a power differential. Mm-hmm. Can you pick it up from there, and then we'll move into our last segment?
Okay. First thing we do is we work on the only thing we can control, and that's ourselves, okay? So what we need to do is we need to empower ourselves to deal with the entity that is causing the issue. That being said, number one, we don't personalize their behavior. We have to have empathy for them and understand, wow, like you said before, that individual is in a lot of pain and we are paying for it. If we can do that, boy, that's 50% of the emotional burden we can unload on ourselves thinking I'm the problem and, you know, the doubt people create. Because some people are like this, well, what can I do to make this better? And there's nothing you can do. It's the other individual. And the other thing is we can – the other thing I teach my clients is I give them a set of tools, questions to ask to get them to understand, open-ended questions like, boss, what do you think this behavior comes from then? Or why do you think you're talking to me like this? You know, do you think you can make our team better by behaving in this way? Of course, we got to be careful because how much do we want the job? But the only thing I can say is this, is just don't personalize. That's the first step. Do not take on their stuff. Don't think you are the issue.
Yes, if somebody has an issue with them, with you, let them have it. You know, and sometimes some of the things, you know, there's a couple of other things that you could also maybe think about doing, which is, can you limit your interactions with them? Can you do more of them in email or in a format where they don't have a direct shot at you? Can you make sure that other people are around so they hear you? Do they treat you differently if somebody's there? You know, if they don't treat you differently, then they don't know they're engaging in bad behavior because they treat you the same everywhere. If they treat you differently, if their boss is in the room or even if a coworker is in the room or whatever, then you know that there could be something a little personal about it. Not that you should take it personally, but it could be something personal, and then that may lead you to a different discussion.
Yes.
So I just wanted to share that as well. So, Michael, our last section, we've got about 14, 13 minutes to have this conversation, and this is the part of the show that my guests either love the most or hate the most, and it's called What a Load of Crap with Dr. Kevin. This is where you get to take what you think is a load of crap going out in the world, whatever you think it is, and you need, and you get to share that with our listeners and set them straight.
A load of crap.
Yep. Yep. What do you think that's going on in the world? It's just a load of crap.
A load of crap is the way I see our president on that dang Twitter constantly saying things that are embarrassing to the country. That's a load of crap to me. Please focus on the job. You got the job. So let's have that job with some dignity. That's a load of crap.
Now, as an as somebody who works in organizations and has done work in organizations, you know, there's the old Peter principle that people get raised to their level of incompetency. I'm sure you're familiar with it. Mm-hmm. You know, business management 101. So do you think that our president is on Twitter because he can't do his job? What do you think? Do you think that this is his way to avoid doing his job?
I think it's a way to get attention. I know it's a way to get attention. He could because when he gets out there, we see him. He wants us to see him. So there's a little narcissistic component to his behavior. Knowing a little bit about his childhood, I know that father wasn't around a lot. And so getting validated from the masses is almost like a drug into itself. So his twittering meets a subconscious, a level of validation.
Okay. Now, a lot of people, and again, you know, I'm not asking you to do this from a perspective of, you know, like a therapist, so to speak. But a lot of people are out there saying that they think that part of the problem is he is a narcissist. In your experience, mm-hmm. you've worked with thousands of people. You do, you know, a kind of counseling, so to speak, though I know you're not a therapist. Mm-hmm. Do you think that this is a fair assessment? Is the problem is just that he is a narcissist? What do you think?
Yes. When anytime you tell me about somebody's childhood, I will put the pieces together and look at what needs were never met during childhood. And one of his was that the father was never around. And when he's not around, the child creates the belief of not being validated, connected, bonding, that sort of thing. So since he never got it there, he's going to have to get it somewhere else down the line. Well, here's down the line. With all the money and everything else, you still need to look at me and notice me and see me. So, and remember how he's still upset about the fact that Hillary has more popular votes. That still gets under his craw. As opposed to acknowledging the fact that you won the electoral.
Okay. Well, I mean, come on, Michael. We all know that that's fake news, right? I mean, I'm just saying.
Absolutely.
That's what he tells us, right? It's just fake news.
Yeah. So if he says fake news, what is that? If he keeps saying it over and over again, guess what? He's hoping we're going to believe him, you know. But we got to stay strong, people. It's just, you know, if I can convince you, keep telling you this didn't happen, that didn't happen, it's all fake, then hopefully there's going to be a little bit of doubt in the fact that what I did, well, maybe I didn't do it. You know, maybe he didn't do it. You know, and that's what he's hoping for.
Okay. So, I mean, I did a – because I've got a – couple of TV shows as well as a radio show. After he first got elected, I did a TV show called Surviving the Trump Presidency. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to ask you that question. For people who are getting riled up, feeling like they're getting less heard than normal, that are feeling like they're getting disenfranchised, mm-hmm. people who are feeling like they're powerless and decisions are being made by people who are not affected by the decisions but that affect them, and they have no voice. What do you say to these people? What would be your guidance? What kind of what would you say to them?
Well, first of all, in order to be heard, you got to believe in yourself and that you have purpose and meaning in life. And I'm going to go off a tangent just a little bit. The school shootings is a perfect example of your question. That's a perfect example of what happens when you're not heard, when you're disenfranchised, nobody sees me. So guess what? I'm gonna do something tragic and I'm gonna let it be known. So I'm gonna go to a school and make everybody pay for me. So that being said, if the person has to believe in themselves to be okay with getting out in the world, to watch this, to be successful or fail in their attempt to be heard and to be okay with rejection, that's part of the process, all right? When you are not heard, form a group, get with a group of people, an organization, something, at least gives you the first step into the door in that direction so you can make your point known. But if you sit still and create that world of doubt and you don't move, guess what? Nothing gets done. And the reason people don't move is, number one, is fear. It's not lazy. It's on fear. Fear of success or fear of failure, because somebody told me that I wasn't good enough to do something. So if I fail, those words will resonate in the back of my mind. So there's certain spells and certain belief systems that have to be dealt with before we can make that move into into a direction where we can be seen and where we can be heard and we can make a difference.
Okay. One of the things I often say to people, I didn't say at the beginning of this one, mm-hmm. but, you know, Life is about the people who show up, the people who speak out, right, who take action. And it's not just speaking out. There are plenty of loudmouths out there. And, you know, mm-hmm. we've got, you know, a couple thousand of them that run our government out of Washington, D.C., that are, you know, loudmouths with a lot of hot air and a loose association with the truth. But it's not just about screaming or hollering. It's about standing up, showing up, and taking an action. And I always invite people, call. Here's a chance for you to share. Maybe you'll say something that will trigger something somebody else. But if you don't vote, don't complain about who gets elected. If you don't speak out, you know, with solutions, don't go after the people who you say are causing the problems.
Right. Right. That's true. You know, you have to disrupt the planet, the world, your surrounding. Make a difference. Challenge yourself. Challenge others. But don't sit around. Contribute to this planet while we're here. That and whatever that is, but at least you're doing something to the planet, to the people in the planet, you know. So in that regard, you know, please, I always tell people, make mistakes and have a great time. Fail, enjoy it, learn from it, and then do something better or improve on it. But whatever it is, like I said, keep showing up and never give up.
I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but sometimes, because I tend to do a little bit of energy with the word failure sometimes from the perspective of failing is only when you stop trying or you keep repeating without learning. That's failing. Everything else is not succeeding yet.
Okay, I like that. Yes, not succeeding yet.
It's just not succeeding yet. But, you know, it's when we do the same thing over and over again, it's like, 100% of Americans say that America, that you know, the government is a cesspool and is horrible and blah, 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 blah. And 90% of the people, and that it needs to change. And then 90% of the people keep reelecting the people they elected before. So, you know, like, I'm like, okay, so this is a definition of stupidity.
Wow, you got me on that. Well, I'm flabbergasted. You hit it on the head, hit the nail on the head.
So, Michael, I'm giving you a megaphone here for a minute, and you're talking about showing up, making change in the world, making a difference. Mm-hmm. What change or difference would you like to invite my listeners to make that will bring about the greatest positive change in the world?
I would like your listeners to empower themselves by making sense of their world so they can move through their life without hesitation. I'd like them to, you know, believe in themselves, unbelief certain things that may have been told to them as they were younger, you know, though, and tackle the fact that you have something to offer the planet, but you may not know it yet. You may be hanging on to an old belief system that holds you back. And that belief system was from who? The people who may have raised you or the people who impacted your life. Please take a step back and say, wow, so because they said that does not make it true. So we can heal the wounds like we talked about before. We can have empathy for the person who said those things to you for the fact that why would they say them in the first place because of where they come from. And we can put it aside, put it in a box. We can have the scars because they happen. But we can also, after that, we can say, you know something, I'm going to go forward, make mistakes, and learn from them and become a better you.
Well, I think, you know, I always encourage people to look at the fact that it's about being perfectly you. That the only thing you can ever truly be perfect at is being you. And
right.
everything else is kind of subjective. You know, mm-hmm. somebody can look at a work of art and say that's perfect, and somebody else can look at it and go, you're kidding me. Can we recover the canvas?
That's me. Kidding. You're right. Right. So what is the perfect you?
So what is the perfect you? And your perfect you is evolving. So the minute you get to the place where you go, I'm being perfectly me, it changes so you can catch up. But that's part of the journey, which means as long as you're just doing your very best to be you, you are mm-hmm. being perfect. It's only yes. when you're trying to be someone else or be right. different for someone else
right.
or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. Belief systems, when you're not willing to question Ooh. Them, is usually when you need to question them the most.
Yes.
There's
where do they come from?
The difference. So Michael, I've got you, Michael Oden. I'm going to just do a quickie thing here again with you. You, people can find you at thecommunicationshift.com. They can also find you at michaeloden.com. I took your message that you sent me and cut and pasted it into the timeline. So it's actually in the okay. timeline. So that's how you contact Michael. Michael, thank you. Thank you for being a guest. Have a great day.
Thank you for having me, sir. I appreciate it.